Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. My name is David, and I'm one of the pastors here. And in honor of Father's Day, I thought I would start today out with a couple of jokes. The only jokes that I can remember, actually. And so I'll give you a couple of these. Feel free to groan your way through. My kids do that anyway, so I don't care. I'm telling my jokes today, okay? All right, so the first joke I have for you. Why did the bike have to lay down? Because it was too tired. This is going well. That's the response I was hoping for anyway, to be honest. All right, the next one. You may know this one. This is one I've heard a long time ago. What's the difference between a regular joke and a dad joke? Well, a dad joke is a parent, you see. You guys didn't know that one as well. Okay, I'm done. Stand-up comedy minute is over. My name is David, and I feel like I can tell those jokes because I am a dad. If you don't know who I am, that means you've probably been here a little bit less than a year, because about a year ago, myself, my wife, and my two kids, we went out to lead our Reveal campus out in the West Valley, and so I've been out there for the last year or so, and so, yeah, thank you. I'm not sure. Yeah, you don't have to clap. I just, you know, feeling it out here. It's just really good to be here today. I spent most of my adult life at this campus, serving in different ways, volunteering, staff member, and then in our pastoral ministry for about 9 years leading up to leading our Reveal campus. And so it's nice to be back home. It's great to be greeted by old friends and seeing old faces and things like that. And it's great to see that God is just doing what he has been doing for the past 35 years at this campus and just doing amazing things through the faithful service of so many of you. And so it's a pleasure to be here. Hey, we teach out of the Bible every single week here, and so I hope you brought your Bible with you. If you didn't, that's okay. Next week. There's always next week. But if you did bring your Bible, or if you want to tune in on your phone or your tablet, we're going to be in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. It's near the front of your Bible if you're new to that whole thing. And while you're turning there, would you just join me as we pray over the message today? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that you would join us in worship. Father, I thank you that we are able to gather together in peace today. We know that people are not everyone around the world can say the same. And so, God, would you be with us, Lord? Would you unite us? God, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us today? I pray for each and every person, whether watching online or they're here in the room, Father, that your word, as we open your word today, that your word would find fertile soil in the hearts of everyone who would hear and listen today. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing and using us to transform ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, I brought with me a toolbox. It's a relatively little toolbox. And it's kind of interesting because I feel like I can speak for most men when I say most of us have a toolbox. And it may not look exactly like this toolbox because toolboxes come in all shapes and sizes, all different weights and qualities, all different tools inside, all different types of things like that. And here's one thing I do know definitely about a man with a toolbox in hand. That we feel like we can fix just about anything, don't we? Something's broken, I'm going to take care of that, right? I'm going to take care of that leaky sink. I'm going to take care of that wobbly chair. Can I just be honest with you? With enough YouTube, enough trips to Home Depot, and enough duct tape, anything is fixable. Can I get an amen? That's right, man. I hear you out there. I know our secrets. That's how we learn and grow, and that's how we serve our family with a toolbox that kind of looks like this. Now, today, obviously, we are not talking about DIY, but I do want to talk to you about a toolbox. And it's not the toolbox that's in your garage, but rather the toolbox that is in your heart. See, here's the deal. We are all building something. Every single one of us. Whether you're a dad or a mom, maybe you're a mentor or a grandparent, a small group leader, a coach, a friend, you are building a legacy. You are handing something down. You are passing something on, whether you realize it or not. People are taking things from you as you pass them on. And so, yes, today we are talking about fathers. It's a Father's Day message. But make no mistake, this message is not just for dads. I'm going to challenge you, if you're not a dad or if this is a hard day for you, don't check out, because I know that God has something for you today, something he wants to speak through his word. Today's message is for everyone who is a Christ follower or even not. It's a great lesson in who God is and how God wants us to build a godly legacy. Because here's the thing. Legacy is not just about parenting. Legacy is about discipleship. Legacy is about building the kingdom of God wherever and however he calls us to. And so let's open our Bibles today, Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. It'll be on the screens if you'd like to follow along there. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Isn't it interesting that God seems to be highlighting something that we might overlook at times, especially in our modern era? God is highlighting something that is so near and dear to him that we see it throughout the Bible. It's this idea that God is a God of generations. That he's not just the God of this generation, but the God of next generation and the generation after that, and so on and so forth. He has always been a God of generation, a God of legacy, a God of heritage. He is a God who transcends all of humanity, all of time. And so today, I want to highlight three essential tools for building a godly legacy. The first tool I'll give you today is a father's love. Look back at verse 5 of what we just read. It says this. Look at the first word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Moses is saying this. Love God with everything you are and everything you have. Notice this, that before God ever said how to love, he made it clear whom we must love. And if we want to know what love is, if we want to love well, then we must have a relationship with who love is. The Apostle John, he wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. You can turn there now if you'd like. Again, it'll be on the screens. He said this, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Here it is. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Listen to this. We love. Why? Because he first loved us. See, this scripture highlights a few important things for us to remember as we think about our loving God. First of all, it highlights that God's love is reliable. It's this idea that we can lean our life against the love of God, that his love can withstand the weight of all that we hold, everything. It's this idea that it is a reliable source. I know that some of us come from a background where a father's love is not reliable, but this father's love is reliable. Notice that he's not only a loving God, but he is love itself. That God is the very embodiment of love. And so our ability to love, to really love the way that God loves, hinges on the fact that he first chose to love us. And so God loves us. And when we love him by the power of his Spirit working through us, we are able to love as our Heavenly Father loves us. Here's the truth. Our families don't need a perfect man because they're not going to get one. But they do need a pursuing man. Not a man pursuing his ego, not a man pursuing his own empire or his own desires, but first and foremost, a man who is pursuing God's heart and God's will for his life and his family. The fact is we all pursue what we love most. And so let me ask you something, especially to the dads today. What does your family see you loving the most? Is it your career? Is it the way your front yard looks? Is it a certain sports team that you cheer for? Is it your golf handicap? Is it another hobby? Is it your phone? Now, I want to be clear that as I list these things, these aren't necessarily bad things. But when these things are our biggest pursuits, when they take up the most of our time, make no mistake, these are highly destructive things in the lives of our families. You see, if you want to build a godly legacy, if you want to be a father who has a godly love, then you must prioritize a lifestyle that points to our loving Heavenly Father. A lifestyle where faith is not a side dish. A lifestyle where Christian isn't only by title. A lifestyle where Sunday is not just a convenient Monday or Sunday morning activity. It's more than that. It's a genuine, constant pursuit of Jesus, both in public and in private. Pursuing all that Jesus is and all that he has for us and our families. If we want our children to love God, which I hope we do, I think most of us would say, if we love God, then we'd like our children to love God as well, then we must love first. That we must lead in this way. Because they, our children, and a watching world are watching. And they are weighing our words to see if what we say matches what we do. Because what we do says a lot about what we really believe. John MacArthur, the pastor, he said this, "A godly father is the unseen spiritual anchor in the home. He may not say much, but his example shouts." And so I guess the question is, what is your example shouting? Or who is your example pointing to? See, if we want to build a godly legacy, the foundational tool, the bottom line of all of this is love. It's a love that begins with our Heavenly Father's love. And as a reflection of that love poured out to us, we are able to pour out that love to others. The second essential tool for building a godly legacy is a father's words. Look back at Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 6. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children." Look what he says. "Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." And so how do we see that God, our Heavenly Father, loves his children? By speaking to them over and over again, and he's urging us to do the same thing. You see, God is our example of the importance of communication. Actually saying how we feel, and not just assuming others understand how we feel about them. Here's the thing about words, is our words carry weight. Proverbs says it plainly. Proverbs 18 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." Now, this is true for every single person. Wherever you find yourself in life, this is true. But man, it seems especially true for fathers. Craig Rochelle said it this way. He said, "The words of a father are like seeds. They either grow confidence or insecurity." You know, I did youth ministry for a long time. I've done a lot of marital counseling and personal counseling. And I can tell you that this is absolutely true. And I think many of us in the room know this. Because many of us have been shaped by what our fathers said or didn't say. Maybe they said words that built strength, that built courage, that built security and faith. Or they said words that spread shame and insecurity and doubt within us. For me, as I think about the words of our Heavenly Father, there is one piece of scripture that just kind of pops out for me as a reminder of the importance of a father's words. The scene is where Jesus is about to be baptized. He's going to be baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. I'll read Matthew's account of that, Matthew 3, 16 and 17. This is what it says. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, listen to this, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Sometimes we can kind of scroll right over this very important moment of a father speaking words of identity to his son. Notice that God looks upon his son and he actually speaks words over him. And notice the contents of what he says. He is speaking words of identity over him. Not affirmation for something he has already done, but simply who he is. And you know what? That should really tell us something about the kind of words we should be speaking to our children and those in our care. You know, I think that the world would be a very, very different place if more children heard their fathers frequently and genuinely say these three short statements. The first is, you are my child. The second is, I love you. And the third is, I'm proud of you. You see, these words, though simple, provide a stability. They provide a sense of identity. They invite belonging into something bigger than themselves. And we tend the hearts of our children by speaking these words to them. Even as I say these words, wherever you are in your relationship, whatever your relationship with your father look like, these words probably resonate in different ways, but you can feel the power of these three statements. We say these words because God is our example. He is our perfect heavenly father. And so we look to our heavenly father to be good fathers to our earthly children. God is our example. You know, when I think about the Father's words, I don't just think about just this moment. Instead, I think about this whole book. You know, this is a book, but it's really not just a book, is it? It's a love letter. It's a love letter from God to humanity. It's God saying, I love you. That I love you so much that I would send my one and only son so that we could have a relationship. I love you so much that I would invite you to be a child of God, that because of the work of Jesus on your behalf, because your faith in his work, you can become a child of God in my family. And you know what? I am most proud of you when you surrender those things that you may be hanging on to, that you're really getting in the way of what I want to do in your life. You see, God may have said this to Jesus, but he also says it to you as we walk out our faith. And I'm hoping that in some ways you can receive that today, because maybe in your life, your father never said these things. Maybe he never said he was proud of you. Maybe he never said that he loved you. Maybe he never said that you belonged. Maybe he said just the opposite, but I want you to know that your heavenly father says, I love you, I'm proud of you, and you are a child of God in his eyes. And so, father's words, laying practically into this, now that I've kind of painted the picture, because some of you are like, great, a father's words, I mean, I can say these things, but how does this really look in life? Well, I want to give you just a couple of things. Because one thing I would say is, you know what? No matter what the age of your children is, whether they're really little or all grown up, I can tell you from firsthand experience that these words still ring true. They are still powerful. They are still effective. And so if you're not saying these words, these words are a great way to begin to show a father's real love in a tangible way. The second thing I'll challenge you with, because this is something that God spoke really clearly to me years ago, and I've never looked back because it's been so effective with my family and with my children, is that we pray together. That we pray together every day before school and when they go to bed, but mainly before school, we do not leave for school without praying as a family together. Now, here's what I love about forcing family prayer. Because my kids don't mind it, they just don't like each other. You know what I mean? Like, they're okay to pray, but if their sibling is there, then there's a problem. And so here's what I love about praying as a family, is it forces forgiveness. It forces this moment where we have to face each other instead of run from one another. That things are not allowed to fester in my home because it's really hard to pray with someone that you don't like or you hate, which I don't hate my kids. They might hate each other sometimes, but I know that goes away eventually. But I want to encourage you in this moment because here's what I had to do. There was a moment in my life where I was like, you know what? I'm praying, you know, once in a while. I mean, I'm praying personally all the time, but I'm not gathering my family. You know, it's inconvenient. We're running behind schedule. The kids aren't getting along. All this stuff. All these excuses. And what I've noticed is over time, as I began to just kind of champion this in our family and my wife as well, you know, the kids don't, there's not like a question about it. They're not like, we're not doing it. Instead, they're like, oh, we got to pray. So that means I have to go say sorry real quick. Or, you know, like, I have to like swallow my pride a little bit and, you know, we huddle up. And so it's just been such a healing thing. And so if you're not doing that, man, could I just recommend doing that? And even if you have kids that are older, like, I know it's awkward. I know if you've never done it and you're starting this now, it's like, why now? Well, why now? Because now is the best day to start something, you know? And so if this is you and you're like, my kids are older, you know what would really freak them out? Would be awesome, though? If they, like, live in another state or you don't see them that often, if you just offer to pray for them once in a while. Because I promise you, that will bring you closer over time. That might be something that where they seem distant, but, man, you're consistent in this thing, and you will see a change. And you know what? Most importantly, when we pray out loud for the people that we love, what we do is we reveal not only our heart for God and our heart for them, but most importantly, we reveal God's heart for them. Because when we pray for people, we are not just speaking for us. Instead, we are speaking the life that Christ gives us into other people. And that's including our children. And so often we set the temperature. We set the standard of the day. I set a pace for the day for our family, not because I'm a perfect prayer, not because we always huddle happily together, but because we do come together. And so I speak life into my family, protection over them. I encourage them. And I say, man, God, would you just use us to bring on your kingdom today? It's not complicated. It's just a discipline. It's something that we do. And I know that a father's words matter. I've seen it time and time again, not only with my own children, but as I was a youth pastor, as I've dealt with families that are struggling, it is such an effective tool to pray for those that you love and that God has put in your care. Our words matter. The last tool we'll talk about today is a father's presence. As we look back at our source text, verse 7, this is what he said. He said, impress them on your children. Talk about them. Here, notice when. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You see, godly legacy isn't just about a teaching moment. Rather, a godly legacy is about teaching moments over and over again. Our legacy is built not just with the words we say, but by the presence that we have in our children's lives. It's an implied, consistent presence of a teacher. That's what God is saying here. He may not say it exactly, but he's saying, hey, at every moment, as often as you can, speak life into your children. Speak life into those around you because your presence matters. You're there for a reason. Andy Stanley said this. He says, you can't outsource fatherhood. You just have to show up. You don't need to be everything. You just need to be there. Dads, our greatest gift to our families is not our wisdom or our wealth or our bad dad jokes. It's our presence. And it's a presence that is not overbearing or domineering, but a presence that provides a sense of stability and a feeling of safety to our family. A presence that looks to serve them. A presence that encourages them and empowers them. A presence that is paying attention. That is not just proximal, but is intentional in the acts that we have. As we look to reflect our Heavenly Father, we see in the Bible that God's presence was always at the forefront of his words. That over and over and over again, he reassures his people of his continued presence. In Deuteronomy 31:6, he said this. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Again, God promises his presence through the prophet Isaiah when he says this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Even at the birth of Jesus, we read about that in Matthew 1:23. He says, "And they will call him Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. Even as we study Jesus' earthly ministry, we see that he has a ministry that is with other people. We see that Jesus ate meals with other people. He cried at the tomb with other people. He didn't look away when things got difficult or uncomfortable or too messy. Instead, what we see is that he steps into their pain with them, that he is present in every moment because we communicate love through our presence. Even in Jesus' parting words, in what's called the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And listen to this, "And surely I am what? With you always, to the very end of the age." You see, Jesus gives his followers a mission, but not just a mission. He says, "I have something for you to do, but you're not going to do it alone, that I'm going to do it with you." Almost to say that, hey, there's going to be some bumps in the road. There are things that are going to go wrong, and that doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. I'm with you. Even when you're scared, I'm with you. Even when you feel like you've let me down, like you've gone astray, I am with you. You see, God's presence is a constant reminder of his affection for us. It's a reminder of a relationship with us, and it communicates an authentic love for us. And so likewise, when we are present with our children, like when we decide to be really present, like we put down the phone, we turn off the game, and we look our children in the eye, and we decide to throw the ball, to read the story, to whatever that is for your children, whatever age they are. For me right now, it's playing Fortnite with my son and dancing with my daughter. But whatever that is for you, whatever age they are, whether they're grown or very little, that you would spend time present with them. When we do this, we are simply passing on what we receive from our Heavenly Father. That each of us are given this gift of our Heavenly Father's presence. Why wouldn't that speak to the importance of a father's presence to our children? I want to share a story with you, a story that's deeply personal to me, and it really brings these three points together. When I was about 9 years old, my world totally changed. When I was very little, younger than nine, my parents got divorced, and we lived here in the valley. My mom remarried a land developer, and he took a job developing a new piece of land in New Mexico. And so at the age of nine, my mom, my stepdad, my sister, and I packed up everything we had, and we moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this was a big move for me. I know it might sound simple, but it was a big deal. Because for the first time in my life, my dad wasn't around. My dad stayed here in Arizona. My dad had always been there, always. He wasn't just a parent to me. He was always my coach, my biggest fan, and my best buddy. My dad coached every soccer team and baseball team I played on up to that point. And now, I was living in a new state, New Mexico, a whole state away. And again, I'm playing baseball, and I'm on a new team, and my dad isn't the coach anymore. And I remember one particular game. It was just a weeknight game. It was pregame. We were doing batting practice on one of the side practice fields. And I was just kind of catching fly balls, throwing them in as they came over to me. And I hear a voice behind me on the fence line. A voice that is impossible to hear or not hear. The voice of my own dad. He starts kind of calling out to me, saying, "Oh, good catch." And I start to think, that sounds a lot like my dad. And I turned around and I saw my dad standing behind me on the fence line. My dad had flown, quick travel, right after work, got on a plane and flew in to make just a random weeknight baseball game for me. And I remember turning around and just being so elated that my dad would make such an effort to come to a game, such a surprise for me. And I was so pumped that he was there. But in my 9-year-old brain, my joy quickly turned to fear. Because I realized that, man, my dad traveled all this way to see me play baseball. And so I better play some really good baseball tonight. And so the game begins, and I remember just like my eyes wide open, like I was on drugs or something. Like I wanted to get a hit, and I was going to get a hit no matter what. And so I swung for the fences every single swing. And every single swing I had that night, I missed the ball. Every single one. I got up, struck out. Now, this was not a normal thing for me. I was leadoff hitter. I hit all the time. I would always get on base. But today was not that day. And so every time I would go back to the dugout, it felt a little bit heavier and heavier. I could feel the pressure of performance over me. And the game ends. I have zero hits. I have done nothing right the whole game. And as I leave the dugout, I hang my head low. And I remember tears streaming down my face because I couldn't believe how badly I played. My dad traveled all that way, and I couldn't even get a hit from my dad. And I remember walking up to my dad with my head hung low. I wrapped my arms around his waist, and I just said, "Dad, I'm really sorry." And he said, "Sorry for what?" And I said, "Man, I wanted to get a hit for you. I'm sorry I let you down. Like, I just wanted you to be proud of me, that I'd be a good baseball player because you traveled all this way to see me." And I'll never forget this. He bent down to my level. He looked me in the eye, and he said, "Son, I'm not proud of you because of how you play baseball. I'm proud of you because you're my son. I'm proud of you because of who you are." And you know, yeah. And that's it. That's all he had to say. He said, "Man, you belong, that I'm proud of you, not because of how you perform or that you even succeeded, but because you belong to me." And you know what? That moment, 30 years ago, I can still remember that day. I can still remember my dad saying those words to me. And now I look back at that moment and honestly many moments along the way with my dad, and I realize that he was just reflecting the heart of a fatherly love that he had already received. You see, my dad had an encounter with Jesus when I was young, and it changed him. It transformed him. It broke a pattern in his life that I couldn't believe at the time. But man, I know this, is my dad doesn't have that good of a playbook. Instead, he was always just trying to model the love of his heavenly Father. The love that he had received, he tried to always give his kids. And what an example of a father who loves. What an example of a father who builds identity. What an example of a father who is present whenever possible. Because make no mistake, I know that that is not the toolbox that my dad was handed down. That a father's love isn't something that my father received, especially in this way. But somewhere along the way, my father chose to break the script. He said, "The toolbox that I received, my kids aren't going to receive. These things that are hanging around in this toolbox are not going to be what my kids get." So over and over again, I saw my dad flip the script on our life. And I stand before you today, all these years later, as a testimony of a loving father who looks to our heavenly Father and says, "God, would you have your way? Would your kingdom come? Would your will be done in my family? Would you work through me, God? Would your love shine through me? Would the words I say be your words and my presence be a picture of your presence to us?" You see, the truth is, legacy isn't about how many things we give other people or our children. It's about what we impress on them through our love, through our words, and our presence. You see, a legacy isn't built by accident. It's built with the right tools, one faithful moment at a time. And so for each of us here today, whether you're a father or not, that doesn't really matter. I hope you hear the message of, we look to our Heavenly Father to be our example as we build a legacy wherever and with whoever God has called us to. And so for you, what is your next faithful step? Maybe for you, it's breaking into some things that would show that, man, I need to set a better example with the way that I love God. Maybe I need to be a little bit more public with my faith. Maybe I need to be a little bit more consistent. Maybe the words I say, my actions need to begin to match. And so I need to pray about that, that I need to get some accountability for that. Maybe I need to find a small group or someone to mentor me into these ways. Maybe for you, it's just saying the right words. It's just saying the simple, powerful words of, I love you, that I'm proud of you, and that you are my child. Or maybe for you, it's just putting away the distractions so that you can be fully present. As our Heavenly Father offers us his presence, we offer our presence to those that we love. Whatever that next step is for you, I want to encourage you to take it. Not next week, not next month, but starting today. Would you stand with me? If I can have the ministry team please come on to the front. I'm going to pray in just a second. Before I do that, though, I do want to welcome those of you who are guests here. We're so glad you're here with us on this Father's Day weekend. We do have a guest welcome in our information center right after the service. There'll be pastors and leaders out there. We'd love to give you some information about the church, answer any questions you may have. I do want to pray for the dads as we pray. But again, before we pray, I want to invite some of you up to the front after I dismiss the service. Because here's what I know. Is Father's Day is sometimes a day of celebration. That we celebrate dads, especially the good ones. But for some of us, Father's Day might just be a pain point in our life. That it was just hard for you to be here today. You're like, I don't know if I can handle Father's Day this year. And I want you to hear this, that God sees you even in these moments. And that as we look to our Heavenly Father to be a picture of what a father really is, that we're not distracted, that we're not derailed by maybe something our earthly father did or didn't do. Instead, he says, fix your eyes on me. Let me be this a reminder to you that yes, today is Father's Day, and maybe for you, your father isn't worth celebrating, but you can always celebrate your Heavenly Father. We can always celebrate him and remember that, you know what, we are a child of God, that we have a place in his family, even if our fathers have let us down. And so for you, if that's you today, I want to pray for you. And if you want prayer for anything else, we do believe that God is healing today. Maybe that is healing that father wound in your life. Maybe there's something going on in your family or in your body. We just got done with a great healing series. And so if you want to come to the front and receive prayer from one of our members down here, that would be so awesome. We'd love to see you down here right after the service. We want to minister to you. And let's pray for our dads, and then I'm going to cut you guys loose, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. And God, I thank you so much that you are our good Father. That you are the ultimate example of what a father should be. So I pray now for our fathers that are in the room and online. God, I pray that you would empower us by your Spirit. That you'd call us wherever you'd want us, Lord, and that we would listen to your call. God, that you would embolden us, that you would strengthen us to be just a reflection of you. That when people would see us, they would think, a good Heavenly Father is guiding that good Father right there. Help us, Lord, to just be a picture, a glimpse into your goodness and your perfection. God, I pray for those of us in the room that may not have a great story about their father. Maybe it's a sad story, story of disappointment, story of neglect, a story of hurt. God, I know that you don't look away in our pain. In fact, God, you lean in. And so, Father, I just pray for your presence to be felt even now, that your healing presence would be felt. God, that there would be a peace, that there'd be a love that is felt, that there'd be words that would be spoken, that you would speak over them their value. That our Heavenly Father, in his great love, loves each one of us so much that he would send his Son. Help us to receive that today, wherever we are. We love you, God, and we thank you for the role of Father. Would you empower us to be everything that you're calling us to be to whomever you are calling us to be with? We love you, and we thank you. Would you be with my friends as they go? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, y'all. Bless you. See you next time.